Could I ask you to return, please? And we are at the sheriff. 101,000, roughly 102,000 unfunded over target requested. Sheriff is here and his staff, and he would love to answer questions if anyone has any. Right, Sheriff? Can't hear anything, so
what was I supposed to do? Go ahead, Kathy. Thank you. Sheriff Lansing, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you. I just want to see if I understand the intent of the proposed removal here. It would unfund the recommended OTR of $101,756, and that would eliminate a position that was proposed to be funded by Target, a deputy sheriff. Am I in the right, or do I misunderstand it?
I think it's a...
It was an OTR.
It's a sergeant.
It's a sergeant. It's not a deputy sheriff. It's a sergeant.
Okay. It's section 3, page 362. Is that right?
Thank you.
I just wanted to hear what, excuse me, the impact might be.
Sure. I know we've been talking about studies that are supposed to be and studies that... should be, but there was a study by the previous administration that was requested, and I'm assuming everybody felt it was necessary. And it was conducted in 2003. New York State Division of Criminal Justice from Albany did a study on the Sheriff's Department and recommended that a complement of 7 sergeants should be working the road patrol. We currently operate with 6. A reduction of that 1 sergeant would result in deputies working without supervisory coverage, leading to a decrease in patrol coordination and an increase in potential liability. Many shifts would have to be covered with extraordinary overtime, possibly. If we had to bring in a swing sergeant, is what we'd end up with, being short the extra sergeant. And also could end up with no supervision on a shift when we had, patrol. So those are the things that we would be looking at. I believe that the Sheriff's Department... at one time before, was down to 5 road deputies, or sergeants, excuse me. And I know my current undersheriff was a deputy at the time, and he could speak if anybody wanted to know how, what that might have caused without the extra supervision of this one sergeant.
Anyone else? Martha.
Hi, Sheriff. On the roster page, 356, it says you have 7 sergeants. Under the cap, you'd go down to 6. Is there? There's 1 in the civil division. Is that right?
Right. There is 7 currently, but 6 on the road. That's correct.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Peter Stein.
Well, again, I am not an expert in this, but I know a little bit about it. And the way I came up with this number was that a study I was shown that was given to me by the county administrator, and asking the question, how many people do you have to have on your roster so that you can have 1 person on duty 24/7? So 1 person, if you want 1 person on every hour of the week on duty, then you need to have 5 people, which would take care of vacations and sickness and so forth. That was the number 5. And so where my concern came from was that that's what the sergeant is supposed to do, is to be the supervisor of the road patrol. And so in order to have 1 supervisor on every shift, you have to have 5 on the payroll, and we have 6. Now, I do know that, Ken, that you're right, that the study showed that we needed more, but the study also showed that we needed more deputies by a considerable number, and we don't have those deputies to be supervised. So I'm not sure that the it's relevant to talk about the number of sergeants that that study showed that we needed. If you understand.
Brian?
Carol.
There's a little fundamental difference between the number to fund or to have a position covered for 24 hours. That's like per shift. You know what I'm saying? You would need five guys, 5.2, I believe it is, the number, on the day shift to be able to cover all of that shift for the week equally. Same on 3 to 11, same on overnights. These sergeants don't all work at the same time. You have two, and two, and with days off in there, you end up, I'm trying to think, 3 days a week, you have both of them, and 4 days a week, you have one that's there. So that's kind of the difference. That 5.2 is per shift, not all the way around the 24 hour. You would need five, five, and five. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
Okay.
I do think that it's
I'll explain.
Okay. Not five, five, and five, but
what's that?
Yes. That's how I did read the paper, and I think my understanding is correct. That says if you need to have a single supervisor in the supervisor's chair in every hour in the week, then you have to have five supervisors on your roster. Joe, could you comment on that? You're the one who taught me that.
We're having a sidebar talk here. Do you hear the question,
Joe? On the relief factor?
What?
On the relief factor, yeah, the need for...
Yeah.
It's as Brian describes it. For every post, you need a certain number of people to have a 24/7 coverage. I think the study that I gave to Peter was illustrative of how that relief factor works. So, I mean, it is somewhere between 5 and 5.25 or so FTEs for each post that you want to support on a 24/7 basis.
It depended on the work week, and I checked what the work week was with the personnel department and then looked up the number, and the number was 5.0.
Okay. Anything else? Carol?
Yeah, I think I may be with Peter on this one. Recognizing that to have a fewer person on staff means that we would have to accept the fact that there would be more overtime. That whole discussion we had the other night about overtime, I recognize that if we're reducing regular staff, we're going to have to pay overtime. And that we'd be taking a risk that, depending on the workload, we may have to face that. But I think that there are ways that we could be pushing greater intermunicipal cooperation, that this would, start forcing us to look a little bit at that. And I point, Peter's point is also well taken about sort of supervisors versus deputies. So I may be with him on this one.
Anyone else? Ready to vote on this? All in favor? And let me explain. A yes vote means that you are going to unfund the over-target request. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? All the rest. 14, 4. Okay, thank you. Planning, removal target 65976, unfund over target request. Who wants to talk about it? Ed is here. Nobody wants to talk about it?
Can we just get to the page first?
It is OTR 112, third section, 327. Question? Comment? Ready to vote?
Where are we?
We're on planning. Page third section.
OTR 112.
327. OTR 112.
Wait,
yes, Mike.
That's the funding for the staffing of the advisory boards?
No.
It is the staffing of the advisory boards and the conservation planning program.
Martha, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Oh, I see. So it looks like it looks like five staff here would have their hours cut if this weren't funded. Is that right?
Well, yes, that would be one of the impacts. We would be reducing hours by about 12.5 hours per week in the office. And also, after 2 years, if this OTR was cut, after 2 years, we would be reducing one of our support positions to half-time.
So 12 and a half hours a week per person?
Well, 12 and a half hours per week in the office.
Okay.
And after 2 years, a half-time reduction of support staff. That's another OTR funds that for 2 years with a rollover. This funds it on a target basis.
Okay.
So if this funding is removed, we'll still have the position for 2 years, but then it will go to half-time. And we will not be able to provide advisory board support at that point. At anywhere near level, we do not exist.
And this is you had a sort of unusual way that you organized your OTRs that was, you know, the first one, but the first three here were funded. So would this affect anything else if this were cut? I know because you had sort of a sequence of what you could refund.
Yeah, well, it really affects the things I mentioned. The conservation planning program, it's basically all the work we do with agriculture, forest lands, water resources, pretty much all of those things, and many others. We've done over the years many, many efforts as a result of having this capability. I would just note I happened to look at the Regional Economic Development Council's public survey results today, and the highest rated asset in the 8-county region, and I think it's probably higher rated here, was our natural resources. Our natural environment and resources were the highest rated asset by the public that's responded to that survey. And I think the public has strongly supported efforts in this community to try to conserve those resources. We would be pretty much out of the business if this one goes away.
Anyone else? Mike.
Supporting our agencies is not our agencies, but our advisory boards is important, but maybe we have to staff them at a lower level. I would like to move to amend this target to $33,000, which is approximately 50%.
Is there a half? Is a half? No, is there a second? Brian. Discussion on the amendment? Frank?
I noticed that part of this is funded by rollover, and it goes back to the original opening discussion from this evening.
Not this one. This is not the one funded with rollover.
This is
it's a little confusing because rollover comes back. I mean, we put rollover back with
right. This
one.
Yeah.
What is
OTR 61 uses rollover to fund a clerical position part-time for 2 years. From part-time to full-time for 2 years. If this rollover 112 is fully funded, then we don't need to use that rollover from the earlier one. I know it's difficult to understand, but essentially we put things in order of priority and recognizing that if the budget was going to be cut substantially, that we would have to give up that half-time clerk position in 2 years, make a transition with rollover funding.
Anyone else? Ready to vote on the motion, which is to reduce the 65,976.
That's the amendment.
Yeah. the amendment is it's unfunded 65, we're cutting it in half. He's going to unfund 33, that dollar amount. So a yes vote means that you're unfunding 33,000. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Well, we're not voting for it at this point. We're voting just to amend what we will then vote on.
No, this is
a vote on the amendment. It's an amendment to reduce the 65 cut to 33.
And so then we will vote on the 33.
No. We're voting on the 33 right now.
No, we're voting to substitute.
No, this would enact the $33,000
right.
cut.
Why isn't it an amendment to
It is an amendment.
To Peter's.
That's the amendment.
The 65 was amended to 33.
If you'd rather cut 65, you should vote against this, and then 65 comes back. If it fails, 65 comes back to the table.
Right. This is like an ordinary amendment. Okay. You vote to amend it first, and then you decide whether you want to accept the amendment.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I was asking.
Okay.
Thank you.
No,
wait.
No.
Wait, no.
No.
Yes.
This is, do we approve a cut of 33,000 out of
no.
this?
No. No, I beg to differ.
Go ahead.
Let's imagine that I only introduced one thing. Okay? So I introduced something that said, I want to cut the budget by 65. It was seconded. Then there was some discussion. Then Mike said, I want to change that 65 to whatever, 37. Then there'd be a vote on the amendment. Do we want to accept Mike's amendment? Mike wins the thing, and then we have one other vote saying, do we want to? Yes. Then we have another vote saying, do we accept the amended version, having amended it? That's the standard thing.
Okay. Mike's amendment is 33. All in favor of Mike's amendment, please raise your hand.
This is to amend?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right? 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a tie, right?
It fails.
7 to 7. There's 14.
7 to 7.
Motion fails.
Carol?
Yeah. I would like to move an amendment. I'm not really going to support any of it, but I absolutely think that we cannot live with giving up the support for advisory boards. We just came from the Water Resources Council, three of us, this group of professionals giving us of their time.
So what's your number?
Very difficult issues, and we have other boards that are similar.
What's your number, Carol?
So the number that I think Ed had quoted for that, Ed, am I correct? It was 8,000 and change, so I would amend this.
No, I never, that's... I don't
for
know where that number came
of
from.
It?
No, it's half of that number is the advisory board support.
It's half of that
yes.
number? Oh, then I withdraw my...
Okay, are we ready to vote on the unfunding $65,000 motion? All in favor of unfunding 6976? Raise your hand, please. Opposed. okay. Assessment.
You want to just do the other planning one while we're here?
Oh, yeah. Let's do the other planning so Ed can... that's 11.13 unfunded over target request. Removing that. Any discussion about that? All in favor of unfunding the over target request of Frank? Were you going to make a... Are you voting, or did you want to say something?
Voting.
Oh, okay. All in favor of unfunding the overtime request of 11.13, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed. 9 should be 9. Okay, that fails. Assessment. 50,208. Unfund over target request. Any Jay is here, Kathy.
So I'm sure I'm not the only one that noticed that under another proposal there's additional removal of this, but this time it's the whole amount. So I just want to verify my reasoning is that Peter thinks that if he can't get it on this one, the reduction from target, reducing from 17,581 to 8,790, then he'll unfund the entire thing to support 121. Is that correct? Because to me it looks like we're going after the same OTR 95 twice. There's a partial defunding of it in this one, which is page number 310, OTR 95. But then four lines down, there's a complete unfunding of it. So I'm just curious. The idea is to partially unfund it and then to completely unfund it?
Yes, the approach was initially set up so that we... Wade, Peter, and I discussed this as in proposal number three, that had passed. The funding for proposal number four would have been amended. He would have made a motion that did not include that. But if it failed in the top, he would have used the proposal number four to support DSS by cutting that assessment in that proposal. It was a package deal, was the idea.
So my understanding would be then that if somehow this should pass, then the 121 package...
Well, right now we're talking about 94, but if this were to pass now...
Then it wouldn't be fully funded.
It wouldn't. It would have to come from other target money. Yes, he would have to change his proposal. That's all. He would have to make a change to his proposal, which I believe he's going to do anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone have any questions for Jay? Martha Carroll.
Sure, Jay. You just handed something out. It's hard to read a page at a time. So what's in here? Well, tell us what this would mean.
Key point I just wanted to make is just how small my office has gotten over the last few years in particular. Just to point out, back in 1999, we had 19 and a half individuals in our office. This cut would put us at 9 people. That's over a 51% decrease in staffing. I took a look in the county's budget book to see what happened to the county's workforce over from 2009 to 2012. So if this cut went in place, the county would have lost 54.84 full-time equivalents. My office would account for 5 of those. Or 9.1%, I think. Out of the 29 departments, 19 have lost staff in those years, 4 have gained staff. On a percentage basis, my office would have lost 35.7% of its staff. The next highest department is Highway at 19.3%. So we've lost almost double percentage that the next highest office has. Out of departments with less than 20 people, the next highest loser, and only by FTE, not department quality by any means, is personnel at 1.23 FTEs and youth services at 1 FTE, which is 15% of their workforce. The total FTEs lost from department under 20 people is 10.79, and my office represents 46% of that figure. So while at one point we were the best assessing unit, and by far we have the best structure, right now we're treading water. And we've made that decision over the last few years because the real estate market has been flat, that we're able to maintain. And that's all we're doing right now. If this cut were to go through, our office wouldn't be available. We would have to reduce our phone lines down to 1. Return phone calls from messages wouldn't happen until days later. If you come into my office from January to May, you know, we have over 6,000 senior citizens that come through our doors to file their exemption applications. They'd be waiting in line significantly. Back when we were at 19 people, we used to have help from the Office for the Aging and from Lifelong. We don't have that assistance anymore. We wouldn't be able to send out reminder phone calls or postcards to exemption applicants. It would be up to them to file if they didn't get their required paperwork. And quite frankly, the level of detail that you need in filing an exemption application that's put on a senior citizen is very detailed on what needs to be done, and we do have to prompt people to remind them to get in their exemption application. So a significant amount of people will go out on not being granted their senior exemptions. And, you know, with looking into the future, you know, I don't have the bright crystal ball of what's going to happen, but I think we all see the drilling into Marcellus Shale. If it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, it's going to cause a significant burden on my office to try to determine what effect on value it's going to have. And typically I can say it's going to have a positive or no value, no effect on value, or a negative or no effect on value. Drilling is going to have every effect on value that you could think of, positively, negatively, and no effect at all. So in a year or two, I anticipate coming back to at least request 13 people in my office. And the Institute, the International Association of Assessing Officers, says for an assessment unit this size, our office should be staffed at 15 people.
Any other questions or comments for Mike? Go ahead. And then Carol.
Well, this was for Jay.
I have Mike.
Oh, sorry.
And then Carol.
I would just reinforce what Jay has said, particularly in what the reorganization that his department went through last year, significantly losing staff. We put quite a burden on this department, and it's one of our lifelines. It's one of our abilities to efficiently obtain revenue through the only one of the only state authorized ways that we have, and that is reasonable real property taxation. Without them, we would have a lot more problems with revaluations every year. We have given them the job of doing annual reassessment, which is difficult, takes people. And as Jay has just said, we're in a hiatus right now. A few years ago, trying to keep up with that was nearly impossible with even more staff. So I certainly can't support this cut.
Carol?
That's
Will and Frank. I'm sorry?
Jay, could you please explain the final bullet, which was the small-scale building permit would not be collected?
Yeah, and also one thing this data collector does, I mean, one the main job the data collector should be is to go out and collect all of the building permit information that's it's issued by the town so we can place that value on the assessment roll. In 2011, my department lost about $60,000 of state aid. So we consolidated a office staff person with a data collector. So halftime out of the year, this person's in the office helping out with the exemption applications. The other half, they're out collecting information. So if you would get a building permit for a deck or a garage, we just don't have the resources to go out and collect that information and to verify it and to value it.
Thank you.
Can I go to Frank and then back to you? Go ahead.
Jay, can you say something about what the effect might be? All of us participate in Grievance Day. You usually assign one or two of your people to come out. I know to Danby, Caroline, in the town of Ithaca, where I go, you usually assign a couple of people to help us. What would the effect of this be if this cut went through on that? Because we often bring you back information, too.
The grievance process, I feel, is one of the most important processes we do. So we would still staff that at two individuals going out there. They may be one of the clerical staff that would have to go out to assist. But as for your jobs there, they're going to get busier. As the tax burden increases, people are looking to decrease their expenses. And one of the ways they do that is the number of assessment review calls that we get. So that is ramping up besides the real estate market being flat. So more people will be filing grievances.
Thanks.
Could you clarify whether keeping your over-target requests the way that they were recommended by the administrator would allow you to deal with the problems you're having in systematically going through our tax records to understand what the leasing situation is, and if not, what it would take in addition to be able to handle the need for that information?
Right now, we're kind of building on a hybrid model using the information out there from the TC gas map. Ideally, I think we would want to take ownership of that information regarding leases and be able to cross-reference that within our valuation process. To do so would probably take a quarter-time GIS technician to research the lease information that's filed at the county clerk's office and then associate that lease with each individual parcel.
So, and that would cost about?
Probably around $18,000.
Okay. And that's not in your over-target requests now?
Correct. But for 2013, you may be seeing something like that.
Martha.
Jay, you said that last year you had $60,000 in state revenue that's not moving forward this year. I would point out that page 9 in section 3, year before that, 2010, you had $140,000 in state revenue, and then it went to 60, and now it's down to zero. So the fact that your recommended budget, the net is less than the 2011 budget is also, you're absorbing $140,000 loss as well as seeing an actual dollar cut. So I certainly can't support this.
Anyone else? I think we're ready to vote on this. All in favor of voting on the unfunding over target request, 50,208, raise your hand, please. Peter Stein. Opposed. 1-13. Should we do the other two while we're here?
The other assessment?
On assessment, yeah. Reduction 8790 from 17581 to 8790, then 17851 to down below there. I guess it should.
No, that's part of proposal number 4.
Okay.
So we've made a motion. There was a decision to separate out this group.
All right, first one. Reduce 8790 from 17581 to 8790. Any questions, comment?
Kathy? Page. We're talking about page, section 3, page
310, 95. Third section, page 10.
OTR number 95. A restoration of office line item.
Is there a question, Kathy?
You're waiting for a motion, Jim?
No, I have a motion. Kathy, ask a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I was waiting for her.
I found OTR 95. It looks like this motion would be unfunding the 17,581 and reducing it to 8,790. Okay. Just want to make sure I understand.
All right. Are we ready to vote on this?
No.
Oh, Dooley. And Brian.
I'd like to ask the mover what he wanted to have paid for with the 8,000 something that he left. What did you have in mind?
Oh, Mr. Stein.
Well, Dooley, I didn't really have much in mind. I told you what I did. I went through. I spent some time on it. I tried to figure out what I thought were the things that had to go to get it down to that level, and that was the decision I made.
So it's just a dollar figure. It doesn't mean anything.
It's half of the OTR.
That's legitimate. Who's next? Brian.
I just wanted to know what the office line item was.
Well, there's 7 line items that are included in this over-target request. There's $1,000 each for computer equipment, communications equipment, and computer software. There's a little over $3,700 for office supplies, such as tax map, tax bill printing paper. There's a $2,250 expense that pays our Board of Assessment Review. There's a $3,600 for service contracts, and then $5,000 for postage for return receipts on exemption application.
Okay. No salaries in there. Do you have any...
Rollover,
yeah.
No.
All in favor of this, please raise your hand. Of this cut, please raise your hand. 1, opposed? Okay, move, thank you, 1 to 13. Move to the next one, 17851, unfund this OTR to support 121.
No, I'm sorry, you've skipped facilities?
Facilities.
So that's part of proposal number 4. This is still proposal number 3, which has now been split into separate line items. We still haven't talked about facilities.
Oh, I have to do facilities?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody want to talk about the facilities? Brian?
I don't. I just want to make a point. I want to hand it to Peter for at least voting for his own resolution. That's something I failed to do.
Well, thank you. I was a matter of courtesy to myself.
Anything else about facilities? All in favor of this resolution, raise your hand, please. Opposed? Everyone else. Now, Kevin.
Thank you.
We don't have to do the assessment.
No.
Now we're DSS, right?
No. Well, it's. Can I quickly just say this is another package explanation, and it makes more sense to take this as a package because the first one, the American Red Cross, is being partially funded by unfunding the other OTRs. So it's a way to help support this particular OTR without having to raise the tax levy much.
Let me ask this question. When we voted to separate, did we not vote to separate all of Mr. Stein's?
No.
Just
no.
I understand that, but...
I don't think this has been moved.
It hasn't.
Wait, before you move, let's make a point of order of the agenda.
Would you all put your hands down for a moment? Peter?
I'd like to move number 4.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Jim.
Yes, Frank, I see it. You know,
is there a second to
the
motion?
Is there a second to number 4? Package number 4.
You want to know what it is before?
No, we can read.
All right.
Is there a second? Okay. Die for a lack of a second.
So that kills the whole package.
Kills the whole package. Carol.
Yes, I would just like to make a suggestion on the order of our agenda here is that we take weights and measures. We got a department with one person who has now spent, whose hours are being cut, who's now been here since 6 o'clock waiting for his turn, and I would just like to suggest that we consider taking that one out of order so that we don't run out of time and doesn't have to come back again.
Everyone agree with that?
Yeah.
That's good. Weights and measures, restoration of 9753. Anybody got any questions for
it? I'd like to move it.
And I'll second.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Do I'll it. Second.
I moved it. You already said what it was.
Second. Anything? Any question? Any comment? Go ahead.
Joe, you did not include this in your 5.4% recommended budget. Could you tell us why?
There's no science behind it. In my view, it represented a lesser priority than the things that I put within the 5.4. But I believe that most of the work could be done in a 35-hour schedule, if not all.
So this, if you're... stands. It's a, I'm looking for the page. So it becomes a 35-hour week.
Yes. Any other questions? Dooley? Martha, are you asking another question? Or?
Well, I'll let somebody else take a turn.
Yeah,
but
well, thanks for that. Dooley?
Having just heard that the county administrator speculated that the work could get done in 35 hours, and having been told at committee level that even at 40 hours last year, he couldn't get to everything that he needed to do, I think that's why I'm moving this.
Well, I think you're right. But somebody had their hand up over here. Carol?
I just want to get to give my annual ka-ching, ka-ching speech. I mean, we heard a lot from Don over the years that he is not able to get to keeping making sure that all of our weights and measures are accurate, and that people around the county know that he's on a reduced schedule, and it is the responsibility for government to do this goes back to biblical times, that a weight, a pound is a pound, that when you go to a gas pump and you pump that gasoline and that thing goes ka-ching, 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 you know that gallon is a gallon. I think it's just one of the most important things
thank
we
you,
do.
Martha.
One person isn't too many.
Martha.
Hi, Don. In the past, you have had clerical support to do some of the reports and record keeping. I'm not sure. It doesn't show up here. But do you have support from anybody else at this point?
No, not right now. I'm doing all the office work, phone work, everything myself.
Okay. I know you had another FTE before, but did you, since that time, have you had other?
Very briefly, since the ex-director
right.
retired. I got a little bit of help from Highway until I learned the process and figured out how to do everything, but I've been doing everything since 2003.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? All in favor of this? Do you want to talk? Do you really need to?
I'll help you out, too.
Thank you. All in favor of this restoration to the 40-hour schedule, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed. 1, 2. How many? Okay. Somebody's going to do it. Okay.
Is that again?
No, it's good. We'll fill in the blanks.
Did I move adjournment?
No. Okay, we're back to section 4.
Nope, number 5. 4
okay.
was.
Oh,
4 failed the whole package.
Go back to 5.
Oh, yeah. Okay, 5. Sorry. 5, Robertson, Kiefer, DSS, Resto of 41526 to the Friendship Center. Martha.
And I would make that motion. And
is there a second? Dooley. Discussion. Pam.
Well, I just had some questions. I have a list of the statistics on the shelter use, and I'd like to be able to answer that, ask that question. Is there somebody here to answer that?
I'm not certain. Patricia.
Okay.
I don't know if I can... I'm not prepared on statistics, but run it by me and I can
okay.
Can I?
Okay, it's a simple one. Is that in August of 2009, or in the year between 2008 and 2009, they had 845 total shelter bed nights for that year. And then the next year, it was down to 405. And now this year, it's down to 269. It's a decrease from 2007 to 2011 of 36.3%. And I'm assuming that we don't have a decrease in demand, although I don't know that. I mean, is the reason that we are offering so few beds because of that, or do you know why there are so few people being housed there in the shelters?
Yes. But let me say that we're talking about two separate parts of the Red Cross function. The shelter is one part of what they do, and the Friendship Center is another part, is a different contract that we have with them. So in your answer to the bed nights, the continuum of care received a grant of about $2 million several years ago. It was a three-year grant. And we put that money towards rapidly rehousing people, moving them out of the shelter. If they ended up in the shelter, moving them out of the shelter and trying to prevent people from eviction. So through that process, we were able to decrease the bed nights.
So you're saying that there just aren't the number of people applying for the beds?
No. Yes. But just to sort of piggyback on that, part of that is also what the Friendship Center is doing in terms of preventing the people from actually ending up in the shelter by providing services to people who are potentially becoming homeless.
Martha?
Pam, I'd love to see that chart. I haven't seen the bed night chart in a number of years. So the Friendship Center, Patricia's, this service is not a function of, the demand for this doesn't go up and down with the number of people in the shelter. I mean, it's,
there's not a direct correlation. Right. So that you see, have a number of people who come to the Friendship Center who use their services who are not in the shelter or going to be in the shelter. They serve lunches, they serve meals, they provide staff support for reaching out to landlords, they provide phones for people to call landlords, they hook people up with various mental health appointments. So that's it's different than what's happening at the shelter.
So in a sense, it sort of provides some of the support for people who are
at high risk.
Right. Okay.
Right.
So until the day that we don't have anybody at risk, we sort of need this. This is either open or it's not. And
it's part of the continuum of what the counties, we as the continuum of care, have tried to do is set up something that can prevent homelessness, and that's, you know, that's what we're striving to do. And the Friendship Center is a key component to that, because you want to get people before they're at the shelter door saying, I lost my housing. You want to try to connect with people before they lose their housing to strategize about what can we do to prevent this homelessness. Also, trying to rapidly rehouse people so that once they become homeless, we're getting them back into housing as quickly as possible.
And if I could just ask the administrator the same question, was there a particular reason you didn't put money behind this?
Now, very similar to my last answer, just in terms of the priorities that we were able to fund within the 5.4, this fell outside those. I think if you look at DSS, first of all, there were a fair amount of absorbed cuts in the DSS budgets. We have to recognize that. But in terms of being able to restore much to the budget for this year, I think we were able to restore much of their budget for 2012. So this was one of very few cuts that we made to the entire DSS budget.
Okay, thank you.
Any other? Oh, Frank, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Jim. Joe or Patricia, two questions. One, could this be funded through rollover as opposed to this proposal? Because if I remember right, earlier this evening, there was $366,000. DSS had the second largest chunk of rollover on that sheet. Could it be funded by rollover?
Could be. I mean, technically, legally, yes, it could. The question that you need to ask is, this a program that we want to have keep coming back into the budget? If it's a recurring program, you're probably going to want to fund that with target money. If you think there's some chance you wouldn't want to bring it back into the 2013 budget and you want to sustain it for this year, then you could again use the one-time money, the rollover money from DSO.
I think that was the other half of the question. Could we do it on a one-time, and would rollover be the only way to do it, as opposed to target? Because I think it would give time to evaluate where I thought Pam was going about the numbers and see if the... If what was driving the use of the shelter, we were having some positive effect on getting people back into housing and whatnot, the way Patricia described it, it'd give us a chance to evaluate that. So at the appropriate time, I'd like to propose that we fund this in rollover, Jim. And if this is the right time, I'll even make that motion.
Probably is.
Okay, I'll move that we fund this on a one-time basis through rollover.
Is there a second? Pat? Discussion? Pat, Peter, Dooley, Carol.
I have very mixed feelings about this because I just wish we didn't have to face these really tough decisions, but we do. I'm a bit concerned that the county is the sole funder for this, apparently, the way it's described here.
Excuse me. I don't think we are, but go ahead.
We're not the sole funder. We are the primary funder, but I have here they're getting money from New York State Mental Health. They're getting money from the county mental health department, and they're getting funds from the Human Services Coalition.
Okay, I'm reading from our budget book.
Okay. Well, that's whatever is there is not accurate. This is accurate.
Okay. All right, thank you. So part of what that doesn't really change. The point I was going to make was that given the kind of times that we're in right now, if we have to make some cuts someplace, and I have a fair amount of confidence in the kind of overall look that we've taken here of the budget, that if we were to fund this with one-time funding instead of target, and things were considerably better, we could move it back into target at some point next year if we wanted to. But it would also give the Red Cross an opportunity to look around and see if there are other funding sources for the program. So I think it would be a good idea to do it that way.
Peter, Dooley, Carol, Martha.
I think that's not what one time is meant for. I think one time is meant for special circumstances where you have good reason to believe that you're not going to do it next year. This is not one of those. I'm surprised it wasn't in the target budget. It's a problem that's not going to go away. It's a problem that's not going to go away no matter if unemployment goes away. This is a persistent problem. There are a small number of people who desperately need our help here, and I think we should do it. That's all. I think there's no reason to think of this as being a one-time problem.
Dooley Kiefer.
Well, I was going to ask Patricia, and I will ask Patricia, whether she thinks that this is going to go away after 1 year, which is what Peter was opining. It wouldn't.
The problem won't go away.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
excuse me, Carol.
You know what, I'll wait till after we do the rollover.
Martha.
Well, I certainly agree that this is an ongoing problem. We will have a housing problem. I mean, we're making some headway on it, but it's a slinky, and you don't solve and have the need go away for the least fortunate until you've really created much more housing than we're able to do or that we've been doing, and. You know, there will probably always be a need for this kind of service, no matter how much housing we can build. I think it's, you know, to say that social services got most of its budget restored OTR on the opposite page, OTR 120, $64,000 is a cut to the COPS programs. You know, Joe replaced two-thirds of the funding for the COPS programs, and these are the programs we struggled with last year. The Advocacy Center, Preventive Youth Services, Primary School Supports, Parenting Skills, the Daycare Council. This is, so there's a significant cut in a very critical program of one-third, and I looked at these two, and in terms of my own motion, I did not put back the COPS money. So to say that social services hasn't had some real damage to it, I will say, which is to say damage to our clients, is, I think, really overlooking some cuts that have really taken place. If I look at their roster, in 2009, 196 staff. This year, they're going to be at 186 and a half staff. And we've heard over and over again how the client numbers are going up and up. So they have absorbed a great deal of cuts. I don't at this point have any illusion that we could put back the COPS programs. This, I think, is a priority that we really have to include in the budget.
Dave?
Yeah, I just I was listening to this whole conversation, and it dawned on me that this is an item that's funded by the county through several departments, and I would like, really like to see that pulled out and put as a single entity that, you know, the county's paying X percentage of the cost of it, and not mental health putting in 2 or 3 or 4%, and some DSS putting in whatever percentage, and some other department. It's convoluted and is very difficult to follow, and there's no need for it.
Can
I explain? I agree with you. I would love to have a non-convoluted world. Some of that is because we have different funding streams from the state. So mental health gets a certain funding stream from state mental health that they're obligated to spend on homeless services. DSS can draw down money when we do something through the Office of Temporary Disability Assistance. So we are able to mitigate, you know, how much the county share is. So some of that.
Yeah, I just think it should all be on one page, maybe not necessarily under one budget.
Okay.
Anything else? Are you ready to vote on Frank's motion, which is to one-time fund? Right, Frank? One-time fund instead
through
through rollover instead of target funding.
Right.
All in favor of Frank's motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have a hand up, Peter?
No.
Okay. Opposed? Should be 7-7. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7. Motion failed. Back to your main motion. I'm sorry, Martha.
I meant to add before that I think that the Red Cross does fundraise, for a lot of their programs. I don't see Barry Rothfeld here, but or John Ward, but I'm sure that private dollars do go to help support this as well as the other programs they run.
Are we ready to vote on this?
This is the question I refrained from asking before, which was for Pat. Is there a reason to the ordering? You put the COPS and other package before this one, and was there a reason or just that how it turned out?
I had to put them in an order.
Are we ready to vote on this? All in favor of the restoration of 41,526 as target, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? And all the rest. Okay. COPA addition, one time, 20,000 completely covered with rollover, super new.
We heard during COPA's presentation to us that the state had cut the wrap funding, the home insulation funding, that kind suddenly that had not been part of our budget presentation until the department was here. And this is an attempt to restore the wrap funding by using rollover.
Is there a motion?
It's a motion.
And is there a second? Will? Any discussion about the motion? Kathy, Martha, Carol.
Is there a page? It says new. Where is there a page here?
There's not an OTR number. That's
no.
Why.
There's no OTR related to it. It was brought up during her budget presentation. It was a reduction. They've actually had a reduction in state aid.
And I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. What would this pay for?
WRAP. WRAP.
It's I can't hear. What does this pay for? What is it supposed to do?
WRAP is the Weatherization and Home Thank Repair you. Assistance Program that assists. We have an outreach worker who assists older adults in getting funding from various sources and from the WRAP program, but most of the funding is leveraged from USDA, Bishop Sheen Housing, various other programs to make necessary weatherization and home repair programs. The federal heating assistance program that funds was cut substantially, and the state has decided to cut the weatherization part of that, effective
after March 31st.
After March 31st. So there's 9 months. This would provide us a transition time, if this is not reversed, to continue commitments that we've made, because that program also has made some commitments to work in the falls prevention initiative. And also, we've applied for state restore grants. I'm not talking about kind of the restoring you're doing here tonight, but that's restoring homes. So if we don't get those grants, this staff person helps to administer that money. So if this would be will give us time to reorganize staffing if necessary, if the cuts remain permanent in the weatherization program.
I have Kathy Martha, Carol Frank, Brian Peter.
Martha spoke before me, and she said what I would have said if I had been first.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, but I couldn't hear you. That
Martha?
Happened.
It's irrelevant.
I did. Her question got
Are you on the list?
Well, I do have a question. Okay.
Well, you're on the list. Go ahead.
Thank you. Rollover.
Thank you.
David, the rollover, I see you have 46,698. So this would take 20,000 and change out of that, right?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any sort of plan for the rollover going forward, or is this okay with the department?
I'm a last-minute substitute for Lisa, and I can't answer that.
We'll we'll get back to you on that.
Lisa yes. has shared that information with us, and it is the case. She does want to use. She's willing to use her rollover money for this particular purpose.
Oh yes, that's accurate.
Carol Chuck.
Yeah, are people who would be aided by this eligible for weatherization, winterization, and there are several funding streams that are available to residents through Tompkins Community Action, Better Housing, INHS, and some other sources for, you know, weatherization.
Tompkins Community Action would be subject to the same cuts in the weatherization program. They are one of the recipients of WRAP funding through the HEAP program. So there may be other kinds of weatherization grants through NYSERDA, other kinds of programs, and there are other kinds of sources of home repair and roofing and boiler replacement, things like that. There are other sources of funding besides weatherization funds through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Bishop Sheen Housing. So having so the staffing to make to help people package together what's available is going to be the challenge going forward if our federal funding for this staff person is eliminated.
But would this bring an additional total amount to the county of this kind of money, or is just which office it comes through?
No, it actually, this is reducing the amount of money that's coming. The federal government has cut the amount of money they're giving to the states, and the state has decided that they're going to cut the RAP program, which is what COFA requests money from. And the federal government cut it when they passed the debt ceiling legislation. So this is effective March, the beginning of the next federal fiscal year. The $20,000 is just a rollover amount that's being they would like to use to get through a transition period. It's a one-time expense. It does not affect the tax levy at all.
Transition to what?
To either finding additional funding streams or reducing this person out of the 2013 budget or some variation of those two things.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. I think you described the alternate funding sources terrifically. I think that's appropriate, and I think the money would be used to try to plug the gap, which is what I was hoping the Red Cross might do on the previous. So
the alternate funding sources are funding for the repairs, not for our packager, the person who helps them access those funding sources. So that's going to be the challenge going forward if the worst-case scenario continues, is to find alternate ways of getting seniors and Tompkins Community Action, getting others connected to those funding sources.
Do you think that the problem is going to continue? The need for weatherization is going to continue, and the need for the packaging. But I thought I heard you say that you're hoping that some of the funding would be restored so that this...
Well, we don't know what will be restored in the federal budget. I mean, it's cut. So there will be clamoring. Senator Schumer has been talking about... But whether it will be restored to the RAP program or just to increase heating assistance grants, I don't know. That particular money that has been funded.
Well, then perhaps this ought to be considered as a target increase rather than a rollover increase, since there's so much uncertainty, much like the argument that was used in the Red Cross. I will move that this be considered as a target increase.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Peter, second. Discussion on this, right?
I still have my...
No, but that was okay. On the last thing.
Well, I still would like to speak.
Well, all right, you're there, but we're in new... It's new world now.
Okay, thank you.
And I had Brian, Peter, Pat. You're at it. Go, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, is it
you want to talk about this one?
Right.
Isn't it my turn, though?
No, it isn't, Pat. I'm following the list the way I had it written down. Okay. And, Brian,
it did sound, the way it was described, that it probably should be considered target. However, I also heard that you would, and maybe you can clear this up, that you would be looking, you're not going to be looking to restore this position next year? You said you were going to be looking for alternative ways to for the packager.
Lisa wrote me that it would allow us time to plan and reorganize staffing if necessary. It will cover the cuts to the RAP program slated to take place April 1st. It would cover those remaining 9 months in 2012, allowing us to fulfill grant commitments in falls prevention and potentially restore, which is a grant application for federal or state home repair money that we still haven't received word whether we've been awarded those restore funds yet. So that's what I have been has been passed on. I have to assume that we would that the county, the state area, the state, the offices for the aging, the area agency on the aging, are going to be trying to lobby to keep this program funded. But as of now, it's not.
Okay. So they're going to be lobbying the state to keep that.
Well, the state.
Or are you going to be lobbying us?
I have
us?
Not
because
heard
if
of
you
any,
are, then we should.
Again,
we
I'm
should
at a little disadvantage target. Because I'm not as involved in this process. I'm a last-minute substitute here. But I have not heard that there's any state stepping into the gap kind of proposal.
There is not.
Yeah, so there's none. Yeah. I see this from what I'm hearing from her is it's helping us to continue what we've been doing, knowing that perhaps at the end of the year, it may not be able to continue.
To finish my comments, I would like Joe to kind of finish it up because he looks like he's got some information.
Well, just a thought to offer the legislature. We're in a time when we are losing state federal grants. And this is really a request to offset the loss of federal money with our money. And that's a worrisome kind of thing. I think this is a really prudent response to that change situation. Where the department head is saying, give me time to think through how we might adjust this loss in funding. Let the program stay alive for another year so we can continue to do what we're doing. Give me a little time to figure out how to adjust. It may be lobbying, it may be reorganizing, it may be a number of things. I think this is an appropriate way to address that situation that we find ourselves in.
You mean target or one time?
The one time.
Use of rollover. Excuse me. Use of rollover to carry through and adjust.
Now I'm back to the list. I have Peter, Pat, Carol.
Oh Lord! Now I have to disagree with the county administrator. But I will. To me, if you talk about the people we need to aid, it's homeless people and it's old people who are cold in their houses in the wintertime. And I feel that there is. Reading what's going on in Washington and New York State, I believe the chances of having that RAP money restored are next to zero in both of those constituencies. Therefore, I think this need, unless global warming really helps us along and we don't have any more winters, I think we're going to need this program to be funded on a continuing basis. And that's why I am going to vote for making it... target and then vote for it. I just think that it's just too hopeful to think that somehow we're going to find somebody else to give us money to do this.
Pat, Carol, Mike, and I'm begging you, can you limit your comments here? We're 20K we're talking about. All right? Go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that part of the complexity of this question has to do with it goes back to what Carol was asking about if there are other funding sources for this type of project. And in some cases there are. The thing about this particular program is since it is targeting an aging population, we're talking about people who, even if there are other funding sources out there, they may not on their own be able to access and take advantage of those programs. So the staffing piece of it is needed to do the kind of outreach that COFA does to make sure that seniors who are eligible for this type of funding are able to access that by helping them identify sources and helping them put together the applications they need to make. So there is an added piece that is sometimes needed, and that's why we see this the staffing piece of it in there.
Carol.
Yeah, I guess I would ask that we not vote on this tonight, that we wait and get new information. It came to us as a one-line thing. It's new, and it didn't even have the name of what it was. So we didn't really have a chance to learn a little bit more about it before we came here.
Lisa did make a presentation during her meeting to explain that she was just going to come to ask to use rollover to help cover this, but...
Yeah. Anyway, I would appreciate more time to make sure for myself that somehow I remember hearing from one of the agencies that came here that there may be money for these purposes that sits wanting people to spend it. So whether there's other opportunities for coordination was something I would explore.
Mike, we can't fund every program that the states and Fed cut. We can't do that to the taxpayers. Here we have both a department head and a county administrator saying, give me some one-time money out of rollover to get us through this year. They're not asking for us to fund the money that would be necessary to do these improvements. This is administration, basically, helping people find grants and put in applications and things, the way I understand it. To make this, to go against what both the department head and the county administrator is asking, I think is not the right way to go.
Right, thank you. I agree. Martha?
This, I believe, this is one of the places money comes from is a small grant program through the town of Dryden. And I think that. So that's another angle, and that involves coordination with a whole different staff and a whole different set of criteria. And if we didn't have this person at COFA, right. You know, that money would sit there because Dryden doesn't have the same kind of capacity to reach out. And I think it's a really efficient way to bring in other resources and to get these things done. There are lots of things that can be done with different pockets of money, and this is exactly the right way to coordinate that.
We ready to vote on this. The resolution is to make this target funding. All in favor of the resolution to make this target funding. Are you there, Frank? Are you listening?
I am.
Okay. All in favor of the resolution to make this target, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? Eight six. Back to the main motion. One time, are we ready to vote on that? All in favor of the resolution as proposed by Dooley to one time 21-35. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed. One. Okay. Got it, 12 to 1. Last one. Thank you, Dooley.
You counted.
Oh, sorry.
You counted wrong.
13 to 1.
Still good. 13 to 1.
13 to 1. So sue me. Human Service Agency's RESTO Target 15K Fully Fund OTR. 437 Market.
I so moved. Yes, section 4, page 37. When I look at so that's my motion.
Is there a second? Dooley? Okay, go ahead.
When I look at the, I like to say that the agencies are the most words per dollar in our budget book. I mean, this is $15,000, and the agencies have already cut, they've sliced their staff, they already live on a shoestring. Now we know our health insurance went up, what, 9% this year?
9.5.
9.5. We have heard from and many of these agencies hold on, you know, desperately hold on to their health insurance programs because they can't provide decent salaries, but at least they sort of decide that health insurance is going to be the thing that they can offer to people. So if ours went up 9.5, and most of these are small agencies that have even a higher cost. So just the 15,000 to help keep them sort of at steady state, I think, is really going to go a long way in the agencies and doesn't move the needle on our levy. So I hope people support this.
Anyone else? You want to hear from the department head, essentially? No one? All in favor of this? Please raise your hands. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Opposed? One, two, three, four, five,
six. I think you missed somebody.
Did you miss me when I was...
All in favor, again, all in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Opposed. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Go ahead. Oh, good grief.
Pam, would you get a different number? I mean, there's somebody who's not voting over here. Go ahead. A roll call vote, please.
Mr. Burbank?
Remind me what I'm voting for.
You're voting for that 15K in
the restore.
Fully fund to target.
The restore, yes, yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Ms. Ferreira?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
No.
Ms. McAsey?
No.
Mr. McKenna?
No.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
No.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
No.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Eight ayes, six noes.
Okay. We are done. The next meeting is the 25th, and if you have resos that you want, please submit them to Kevin, and we will come back here on Tuesday night at 5:05. Thank you very much.